The Nanga Parbat in Pakistan is not the highest mountain in the world, but it is one of the most difficult to climb. And Markus Schwent and Karl Kulich. Hello. They are two Austrians who just said it. Good morning. They are here to tell us all about it. All right. Markus, you haven't been sounding too well. You've been coughing.
Yes, it's from the high altitude, the cold air.
Oh, right. Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear. So we hope he survives long enough to talk to us after the news. Okay, and we will be talking to them very, very shortly.
FM Fear.
Chikinki, you said, and before that it was the Strokes on the Other Side, opening up this final hour of the morning show. It is 10 minutes past nine. Now, the Nanga Parbat, never heard of it myself, but anyway, apparently it's in Pakistan, and with its 8,125 metres, it's not the highest mountain in the world, but probably one of the most difficult ones to climb. A couple of Austrian alpinists decided they would take on the challenge, and they travelled to Pakistan to defeat the Nanga Parbat. They are Margus Schwent and Carla Kulich. We had them as guests in the studio a day before they left, and we phoned them when they were just about to climb the summit.
Yeah, it's going very well. It's been very tough, and it's now the finishing line, basically. We're expecting to go to the summit either tomorrow or the day after. So it's very, very exciting.
I can just imagine what it's been like. There you are, sitting on one of the toughest mountains in the world to climb. The phone goes and it's FM Fear. Can we talk to you, please? No, go away. Anyway, we have Markus and Clara in the studio. They're having a little bit of breakfast right now. They've just got back and we'll be finding out whether they made it to the summit and what all happened in just a couple of minutes. After we've heard from Bel Etage and all our mothers and fathers. From the FM Fear Sound Park, that was Bel Etage and All Our Mothers and Fathers. Well, it gives me great pleasure now to welcome into the studio our two guests. They've come to have breakfast with us this morning. Markus Schwent and Carla Kulich. They were the two guys who we spoke to a little bit earlier on and were off trying to make it to the top of the Nanga Parbat in Pakistan. Clara, we'll start with you, actually, because we just heard the little conversation we had with you when you were just about to try to head off for the summit. Did you make it to the summit in the end?
No, in the end we didn't make it.
Oh, why not? What happened?
What happened? Yeah, there were several reasons. One was the weather wasn't really good. It was quite stormy. We had 70 to 80 kmh wind that day, and on a high peak that's a lot, because you get the wind chill. It's really cold. So we had three different options to go to the summit. One was doing the ridge, which was impossible with those winds. Mm-hmm. Another possibility that was our most favorite possibility was going up a couloir, but there the problem was we had a lot of snow the previous days, and with the risk of avalanche, there was no way we would
not a good idea
enter this couloir. It would have been dangerous. And the third possibility was not really a possibility. That was going down for 400 meters of altitude and doing the normal route to the summit. And the problem here is, if you go down, you're not going down. You have to climb 400 meters of altitudes again to get back to the tent. And at that altitude, that's not really an option. Also, we would have had to cut path there in the deep snow. And only two people, it's not possible to do that.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have been out there with you. There was something called the so-called Diama Gletscher, the Diama Glacier. That was the route you wanted to take up the northeast flank of the mountain. Is that right?
The northwest flank. Yes, the Diama Gletscher was tried by, I think, two or three teams before, but nobody could finish until now, and I think we were the team which got to the highest point on this phase.
Oh, right, so that's something.
Yeah, you got the highest. That's something.
Actually, I have to ask you, I mean, one of the questions I was going to ask you was, how are you feeling now that you've come? What kind of condition are you in? But I can hear you've got this really terrible cough. What's that all about?
Yeah, the air is very dry up there. and also quite cold, and yeah, so you easily get a cough from that.
Right. I mean, I actually went hiking in Salzburg, 2,000 meters, and that killed me. I don't think I would have been very good with you. Clara, before you left, you said that when you see a mountain, you know if it's the right mountain for you. So is the Nanga Parbat your mountain?
Yeah, definitely. We spent over 60 days there, and it gave us the opportunity to study a lot of facets of this mountain. And there's so many ridges, like rock ridges and snow ridges, and we were just sitting there completely fascinated, and we were like, we have to come back and do a whole month just of rock climbing, and then another month of just doing this ridge and that ridge. And the variety of things you can do there, it was so fascinating. And I really want to go back at some point and do some other things in that area, because it's so rich in mountaineering
possibilities.
It's great.
We'll talk to you a little bit more, so stick around, have some more breakfast. We'll talk to you again after we've heard from Crystal Castles and Courtship Dating. There you go, Crystal Castles with a little bit of Courtship Dating. It's coming up on 9:23. My guests in the studio at the moment are Marcus Kschwendt and Carla Kulich. They've just come back from Pakistan, where they were attempting to climb the Nanga Parbat, an 8,125-metre high mountain. I'm not quite sure whether I understood you correctly. I mean, there was the two of you, but you weren't on your own. I mean, did you have a backup team of some kind, Marcus?
Not really, no.
What, just the two of you? With a bit of rope tied around you?
Yes, we had a little bit of support team. You go to the base camp. There you have lots of people who support you and bring up all the equipment. We had about 400 kilograms we brought from Austria, and then is also the whole kitchen equipment, and some people stay there for cooking and so on. And then it was planned to have two men support team to the advanced base camp, which was the second camp for us, to bring up lots of food. In the end, we didn't do that because we were just two people, and one of the these high porters, we call them, he was falling into a crevasse.
Oh my god.
And that made some troubles for us, and so we decided we want to do it in alpine style. So we do it without high porters and took all the equipment ourselves and brought it up to the mountain.
I think you're incredibly brave. So was that the scariest moment for you when this guy fell into the crevasse, or was there a more scary moment for you, Clara?
No, it was not really scary. That's what happens if you walk on a glacier. People can fall into crevasses, and we always use the rope, and we also told the high porters they must use rope. And if you fall into a crevasse on a rope, usually it's not such a big deal. The maximum that can happen is that you injure yourself a little bit, but
normally you don't die of that.
Yeah. So it was just more of a thing of moral to say we decide to not to be responsible for other people walking on this glacier, and decided to carry everything ourselves from that moment.
Especially because that's a very crevassed glacier. I will not say it's a very dangerous glacier. That would be wrong. But there are many crevasses, and that can happen that somebody fall in.
Right. Just very quickly, I mean, what does daily life look like for you? I mean, is it just wake up, have something to eat, climb, go to bed, sleep, wake up?
It's not simply wake up. It's you wake up, you open your eyes, your sleeping bag is covered in ice, and you think, I don't want to move because all the ice is gonna sprinkle on your face, And then at some point you sit up, and then you maybe make some coffee and try to get your body moving.
Right.
It's quite tough to to wake up. Yeah, and then it's all day is kind of work, basically carrying loads, walking.
And I guess you must really like each other to really get on well to do that sort of thing.
Most of the time.
Ooh, big arguments sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, this can happen. You must imagine there was one period of time, 20 days, there was only the two of us, and we were... The furthest we got away from each other was 12 meters, because that was the distance on the rope in between each other. And if it's only two people, no other people to talk to, and you can't even have physical distance, there are some crashes.
Reibereien, sagen wir so.
That's a good word.
So, finally then, what's next? I mean, you said you would like to go back and to this part of the world again, but do you have another goal, another Ziel, something else you'd like to do in the mountaineering?
There's standing so many mountains around.
Yeah.
also, there are many unclimbed peaks and, all the other things to do. It's not only mountaineering there. You can go kayaking or mountain biking or whatever.
So no concrete plans for anything next. You just take it easy for a while now.
Yeah, we have several ideas, but not really plans.
Okay. Well, I wish you the very best of luck, both of you, for whatever you decide to do in the future. I take my hat off to you, or at least I would if I was wearing one right now, because I think you are totally amazing. Markus Gschwendt and Clara Kulich, thanks very much indeed for coming by, and continue having your breakfast.
Thanks.